Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
Thank God it's over. What's happening, everybody? Episode 20. Unkillable. So that was, I actually enjoyed the game. I honestly did. I'm happy for Aaron Rodgers. 4 touchdowns. You know, it's crazy as this season comes to an end, right? A merciful, long, winding, twisting, rotting, painful end, right? I was thinking about this as time is ticking down. It's like if you told me that the Jets, this before the season, like the Jets would win week 2, which they did, week 18, which they did, that Rodgers would throw basically 30 touchdowns, which he did, that he would play in all 17 games, which he did, that the Jets would have the lead after the third quarter 7 times this year. I'd be thinking what I pretty much was thinking anyway, you know, 11 or 12 wins and Jets are going to be right there with the Buffalo Bills for the divisional title with a chance to win it. And, you know, maybe get a bye, maybe mess around, or at least maybe not a bye, but certainly host a playoff game. And here we are. It's the complete antithesis. Who's going to coach? Who's going to be the GM? What's up with Rodgers? You know, it is, though, typical Jets fashion, and we can't control this, but you almost have to laugh. Like, again, I just went into these last couple of games. Enjoy it. I've watched Enigma. I've really enjoyed that. I've given you a few reviews here on the pod. And I like Rodgers more than I did going into the documentary. And I've always liked Rodgers. But obviously, there's been a lot to unpack these last couple of years. And watching the shows on, there's 3 of them on Netflix, I just walk away liking them even more. So, you know, rather than get all wrapped up in the misery and the week-to-week anger that generally permeates my Jet fandom, really last couple of weeks, I've just been watching, you know, hoping he does well, hoping the young players pop, not too worried about the draft stuff and, oh, if you lose, you get the 4th slot, you get where you get, you draft till you draft, and we'll go from there. But as I'm watching the game today, this new mindset, you know, open-minded, just kind of have a little fun and get the news about the Patriots. Like, even on a relatively fun day, you get the news that the Patriots have fired Gerard Mayo. And I told you that that I thought that was going to happen. I told you that last on the pod. I've said that on WFAN. And now I think what's happening here, probably within 2 days or so, maybe 3, got to dot the I's, whatever. I almost guarantee Vrabel's the head coach of the Patriots. And now the Jets are back to whatever fallback plan they're going to do. And I told you, I just the way it went with Vrabel, you know, I thought it was interesting, maybe a little symbolic that he was the first interview that from his perspective, not from the Jets' perspective. They had Ron Rivera in, as you know. And I thought by him going to the Jets building and then right away you get the reports, oh, it was a good meeting. The Jets were happy and Vrabel was happy. I mean, to me, that was an 82-mile-per-hour room service fastball right down the chute telling me and telling you what that meant. What it meant was Vrabel was saying, all right, come on, Kraft, get rid of Mayo, and I'm coming. And I think that that's what's going to happen. So, boy, there's just so many things at play now. And, you know, in a weird way, guys, it probably would have been easier, you know, if Rodgers would have gone, I don't know, 18 for 31 for 136 yards with, you know, 2 picks and a fumble, maybe 1 touchdown. And you're like, all right, it's almost like a little bit, for those who aren't sure if he can still play, and I still think that he can. I've said that many times. At what level? I've certainly adjusted where he is. I've told you that, but I think that Rodgers could still play. I just think that the New York Jets and their complete incompetence and their awful coaching staff and their litany of penalties and their, you know, substandard approach throughout the entire building just lessened who he is. Aaron Rodgers could still play. Now, don't misconstrue that as, you know, Aaron Rodgers, if he decides to play next year somewhere else, or if Woody changes what appears to be an already made up mind of not wanting him back next year, and maybe Woody changes his tune. I'm not going to be here during the summer saying that, you know, Rodgers is going to go for 35 touchdowns now that he's healthy and the rust is gone and that he's going to win the MVP. I think that those days are obviously gone. You know, you could just see even sometimes, you know, last week with Yeboah, remember the one he threw at his feet? Today he missed one or two short ones where he rolled out, and that's like back in the day. That's a dime, and that's a blindfold dime. That's a touchdown. He missed a few, but he still has a little magic here. And the sadness is the saddest thing about all this here is that you have to go into the offseason wondering, you know, what could have been. And that's just, it's a frustrating way. It's a tough way to exist as a fan. Yeah, it really is. But it's over. We got here. You know, it was without question the most disappointing season for me in Jets history. There's been other years, we've talked about this, obviously, that have been worse in terms of wins. I was going to say uglier. I don't know. I mean, this was pretty ugly when the head coach and the GM both get fired. And then there's rumblings where your star young wide receiver wants out and your star corner for the first 2 months seemingly was regressing. Like it was, I'm not trying to minimize the ugliness. It was ugly. But for me, of all the lost Jet seasons, this one's up there because I thought it had a chance to be something special, as did every other pundit out there. I'm not saying everybody thought they were going to the Super Bowl, but everybody, everybody's obviously dangerous. Most people. And, you know, if you don't believe that, just flash back to the summer projections for Vegas, where, you know, the Jets were very much in play on the shorter list to certainly to be a playoff team and beyond. And, you know, now we're just left with the rubble, and there's really, you know, this Vrabel news is really jarring. I got to be honest with you. Like, it really is. Like, I knew that this would be a stark possibility because Kraft is no idiot. And by the way, if you're Mike Vrabel and you have your choice of not just the Jets and the Patriots job, but really probably every job that comes open, what's more appealing? And forget about like the Jets history and the Jets history versus the Patriots. Forget about that stuff. All right. Even imagine if the Patriots were commensurate to the Jets in terms of badness, if you will, over the years, right? Well, just looking at their situation today, moving forward, the Patriots, they've got, I mean, if he's not an absolute franchise quarterback, he's certainly a really good young quarterback on a first contract. That's appealing for the Pats. Jets have the exact opposite. They've got a 40-year-old, you know, making $40 million with all sorts of dead money and roster bonuses. And oh my God. So you start there. That's a problem in terms of trying to lure somebody like Vrabel. Jets aren't going to win this battle. I'm just kind of talking you through it. Why the Jets don't make any sense if you're Vrabel compared to the Pats. Not to mention he is a Patriot. That goes without saying. But then you get to the cap space. Patriots have $130 million in cap space. The Jets have some real tough decisions. And oh yeah, by the way, the Patriots will have a top five draft pick. The Jets won't. So when you look at the reasons why Vrabel, even if he wasn't a Pat and, you know, Kraft wasn't a winner and the Patriots weren't a great franchise the last couple of years aside, there's nothing that remotely puts the Jets in the same boat as the Pats. We all know that. So where are we going from here? Well, I would have to say my very quick, like within the last hour, and I've really had to formulate this, because as much as I knew if the Patriots fired Mayo, that all this stuff is going to come, it's happening, I wasn't sure that they were going to fire him 100%. Mayo was a really good player. He was there for, 8-9 years? He won a couple of the championships. You know, is Kraft going to really do him that dirty? Young quarterback, not a really talented team. I wasn't sure. And he did. All right? And that's his prerogative. So it was, even though rationally, I always knew it was a possibility that this would happen, I think emotionally, I allowed myself to get really wrapped up in the possibility that Vrabel was very much in play for the Jets. So where do you go now? I'd have to say for me, number two, and I pause because there's a massive drop. There is a massive gap as to who I wanted to coach the Jets next year compared to who I now actually believe will coach the Jets next year. Now, I don't know who they're going to hire ultimately. They don't know yet. They were probably banking on Vrabel. Let's go through the list. And let's go through the list now with some more focus. All right. Knowing what we kind of know. After a little back and forth, I think I'm going to settle on Flores. I'm intrigued by Aaron Glenn. And I think that Glenn's got a shot. I know he's got a shot. And I think that Glenn could be good. I really do. The problem is, how do you roll the dice with somebody who's never been a head coach before? That is a dangerous, dangerous ask and a tall order for these Jets right now, given the circumstances and just given the malaise that has engulfed the entire franchise, which is why I think it's paramount that the day of the press conference, you win the press conference. What does it really mean? But I think with somebody like Vrabel and even Flores to a bit of a lesser extent, if they win the press conference, then they win the room. And then if you win the room, now you start to plant some seeds and eventually you start to win games. So I think that Flores is, for me, is two. Here's the thing you have to consider. Let's say that you don't want Aaron Rodgers back at all, right? And I will happily take Aaron Rodgers back. I don't think that Woody will. Full disclosure, I'll definitely roll another year with Aaron Rodgers. I've sat through 2 years of this. I'll go one more. Why not? I know we could still play, as I've said many times. So what coach would be willing to tackle the Rodgers experiment? Because with Aaron Rodgers comes a lot, even though I don't think he's nearly as high maintenance or divisive as many of you have projected and others, right? I think his teammates like him, and I think he's all football when it's time to be all football. I've got no doubts about that. But you've got to have somebody who's not going to be intimidated by that. And to me, and this is what worries me, because I don't want this guy coaching the team. I think of all the possibilities, Vrabel, Flores, Gruden would probably want somebody younger, Gruden, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson. Johnson's not coming. I'm just throwing names out. You know the list, right? Kingsbury. I would think that there's one guy who'll say, oh, yeah, I've got the aura and I've got the charisma and I've got the stones to deal with Aaron Rodgers' presence. And you know who that person is. You know what I'm going to say. And it's probably of all the coaches, it's the one that I like the most as a person and want the least as a coach. And that's Rex. I mean, don't you think that Rex Ryan would want Aaron Rodgers to coach his team? I do. I really do. I do. I don't know that anybody else would. I think Rex would. Because Rex already knows New York. He can handle New York. That's certainly a good thing. I just don't think he could coach. So I don't want to roll the dice with that. But that's what I don't want to say worries me about Rex, because, I mean, you know, what worries me about Rex is that I don't think that Rex is a very good coach. But I think that further, I don't know. I think that that's going to complicate it for some. Let me throw something out there. This also popped up during, I think it was maybe before the game, but I was out today. I think, did you see the report with Jay Glazer? So it's a report. It's also more speculatory nature. So there's a thought, according to Jay, that some teams are already lining up a package to trade for Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings. Now, that's something that I would do in an absolute heartbeat. I don't care what it takes. I would trade probably multiple ones, spread out maybe over a couple of years, not back-to-back necessarily, to get somebody like O'Connell in here. Now, Kevin O'Connell has a year to go on his contract. They have not talked contract during the season, is why it's interesting. And again, this is Jay's reporter or Jay's thing, but Jay even said he doesn't even really think that Kevin O'Connell knows what other teams are thinking or possibly plotting. And if I misrepresent Jay, that's certainly not my intention. I believe that that's the gist of the report. That's the meat of the report. But if you are Kevin O'Connell and you're not loving Minnesota, and I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, you know, it's an historic franchise. It's a cool stadium. It's a great rabid fan base. You're good. You know, it's a fun division. It's just that there's a lot going for you. But maybe he's turned off by the fact that they haven't talked contract, whatever. But if Kevin O'Connell tells the Vikings, hey, yeah, I've got a year to go, but I'm not going to resign here. Now it almost takes on, if that were to be the case, it almost takes on, you know, like an NBA star or maybe like Garrett Wilson, if he does this or others. Hey, I'm not coming back. You may as well get what you can for me now. And that would open up a completely different dialogue. Listen, would the Jets ever be so lucky, A, or B, so skilled to pull off that kind of a trade for Kevin O'Connell? I don't think that they would be. So I don't want to get too wrapped up into that. But that's fairly interesting. Fairly interesting. Probably for somebody else more so than the Jets here. God, this season. Now, I was going to wear a bag over my head today, but they won, so I couldn't do it. I was going to do the show. I was going to do the pod in a brown bag. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. No. I just, this season just beats the shit out of you. It knocks the spirit out of you week by week. And it's amazing the wave. Like, I remember how raving pissed I was, and you were, and we were together. Like, after the Cardinals game, at 31-6, after the second Patriots game when they couldn't stop a backup. I mean, some of these games that they – it has been so, so disheartening and so abusive when you really think about it. It's just an abusive relationship. That's what the Jets are. But, man, it's – if I'm going to search for a positive, I'll search for a positive here. Like, you watch – and just to contrast it a little bit to the Giants, who had their own issues, like I watched the Giants. Now, I know some of the starters are hurt. I get it. I know they're not at full strength. And I don't know what they're going to do with Dable. I personally think he's going to be gone. We'll see. But I watched the Giants, and outside of neighbors and like, you know, one or two other, I don't see much. I really don't. I just see a longer rebuild. I don't see that with the Jets. I don't know. Maybe I'm blinded by my Jets fandom. I don't think so, because for years I'll be the first to tell you just how inept they are. They're inept at things. They're definitely inept. I don't want to confuse anybody. They are wildly inept. But what they're inept at is correctable. And I remember probably the most stunning, not necessarily the best, although it's probably on the list in a weird way. I think the most stunning game that I ever watched as a Jets fan, stunning, absolutely stunned, was following the 1-15 debacle in 96 when they fired Coatside. And again, the year before that, they were a 3-win team. So it's not like they just took, they took some downward turn, but they were really good before that. No, the Jets were an eyesore for a couple of years. Parcells comes in, right? And Bill Parcells comes in. And I remember I was in Atlantic City with a bunch of my buddies, and I had just gotten my first apartment, and we're driving back, and we were there all night. And so we're driving back like in the afternoon, and the Jets are playing at 4 o'clock that day. So it's my first apartment. I'm just out of school. I've got like 7 or 8 buddies over at that point. This is when I had the Jets season tickets, and we're watching the Jets. And like what I watch, it was at the Old Kingdom in Seattle. Was absolutely stunning to my point. They won, I want to say 43-6, five different Jets caught touchdowns. Jeff Graham had one. Krabet, Keyshawn. I think maybe Kyle Brady. The point being, think about that. From 1-15 to a road game 3,000 miles away against a competitive team in Seattle, they scored 40-plus points, and they didn't give up. I don't know if they gave up a touchdown and they missed the point after, or they gave up two field goals, whatever it was. They absolutely squashed them. And the reason they squashed them is because from the moment that Bill Parcells walked in the building, there was an immediate attention. Sorry, everybody's been sick. There was an immediate attention to detail that is absolutely, it is non-negotiable here. That's what this hire is all about. It is non-negotiable. If you are lazy, you are gone. If on film, you don't know what gap and what assignment to hit because you're not watching film, you are out. If you're not in the weight room getting after it, get lost. All right. If you're not a good teammate, if you're not healthy week to week, see ya. Like, you've got to fumigate the joint. You've got to just go in there with a blowtorch and just zap it. You know, though, that thing that you put by the barbecue when you zap the mosquitoes during the summer, it's time to start zapping. And they got to zap losers, and they've got to zap lazy players, and they've got to zap dumb players. And you know what's funny about that? That's actually pretty easy to do. Like, the zapping is the easy thing. Because all you got to do is, all right, let's put on the film. Think. All right, let's see what this guy did. All right, week 13, Jets were out of it. Let's see what he's playing with. He's playing for himself, or is he playing for the 10 guys next to him? Look at him. Bailing on his run assignment, trying to get a sack. Look at him trying to pad the stats. We don't need that in the building. Get trade him. Cut him. Don't renew him. That's how it works. And that's why. That's why, honestly, Rex Ryan terrifies me. Because Rex Ryan is not a man of detail in terms of the building. He is a man of passion, which I love. He is also a man of bluster and words that don't equate to cleaning things up. They don't. So, who fits that bill? We know Vrabel does. Honestly, the more I'm going through this, I almost think I'm talking myself into Flores as my next guy. I know I mentioned it before, but Brian Flores is the kind of no-nonsense ass-kicker who was going to come in here. Number one, he's from here. Number two, he is pissed off because he should still be coaching as a head coach, and he's not. Number three, the team that he hates is in the division, the team the Jets beat today, Miami. So he's coming with an extra chip on his shoulder. So Flores excites me. And Flores, think about what Flores was now. He wasn't ultimately right with some of his criticisms with Tua Tagovailoa, right? That was a big issue down in Miami. But the fact that he wasn't afraid to launch into a top 10, and Tua's a good kid. I don't know that he deserved that, but to a top 10 draft pick, a quarterback, tells me all I need to know. If he's going to say that about the quarterback, what do you think he's going to say about the nickel corner who blows his assignment on 3rd and 9 that extends a drive and the Jets lose on a field goal at the gun? Like, that guy's not going to be around long. And that's what you need. And I just, you know, I don't feel like that's going to happen with Rex. I want you guys to understand this again. Think about this. They had 7 games this year where they led after the 3rd quarter. 7. And they were, what, 2-5 in those games? All the penalties. I mean, it all ties in. The fact that they don't turn you over, although today they did. I mean, ironically, everything that we wanted them to do, they did today. That is the kicker out of it. That you have to laugh at. Like, if you let that bother you, you're gonna be bothered for a long time. Because the Jets team that I watched today is the Jets team I was dying to watch all year. Ball hawking, defense, Rodgers flinging touchdowns, some creativity, some stupidity, some weird plays too, but whatever. You know, go to page 109 on the playbook with that wacky Adams to Rodgers play, that whatever. But it was fun, you know? And it's amazing too. I'm sitting there in my chair, and I see Rodgers. He's got a skull cap on, and he's smiling, And I don't even know what the final was. I don't know, 30, whatever. Whatever. Evan, what was the score? I don't even have the score. 32 to 20, right? So I'm look. I see the score, and he's got his little Will Scully down. He's got the big broad smile, getting guys hugs. And I'm at, like, imagine, this goes back to what I said at the start of the pod. Like, imagine if I told you the Jets would win in week two. So basically right away, early, they would win the last week of the season against Miami divisional matchup. They would score 30 plus points. Rodgers would throw four touchdowns and he's still healthy. We all be sitting there saying, all right, I mean, 13 wins. Who are we playing? Do we get a bye? Where we go? We hosting, whatever. The point is, like, that visual, and I almost recorded it and I was going to put it on social media. It would have, like, it just looked like, for it was like, it's so hard to verbalize this. I didn't even say it out loud when it happened. I'm like, everything that I'm watching right now for the last 20 seconds is really what I thought I was going to be watching this year. Like, when, like, in my mind for a moment, like the anti-Jets world, when he's hugging, they're talking about the playoffs and, hey, what a great year now. And he's telling his young teammates, hey, now it really starts. Now I've been here. It's going to get more intense. And it's just amazing that it's really the exact opposite. But, you know, the hope has to be you clean up those little things and it is salvageable. I think it's a lot more salvageable than the average person either believes or puts out there. Are you with me on that? That it's more salvageable than many think?
Yeah, I definitely think if they could hold on to, like, the guys that are truly talented and get rid of, like, I've seen a lot of people in the comments be like, the first two guys you got to zap are Kinlaw and Clemens, which I pretty much agree with that.
I'm good with that.
As long as they hold
definitely
on.
Definitely Kinlaw. Like, Kinlaw.
Oh. And then Clemens, he, like, tries to sack the guy, he lets it get away. But yeah, so I definitely think it's salvageable. It's just, I don't know. Hopefully they can keep them all on the same page. I know they keep talking about Sherwood, and he's like the biggest free agent I think they theoretically have. Because I think DJ Reed, Tyler Conklin, and Kinlaw. I mean, not Kinlaw. Sure, Jamie and Sherwood are the three kind of main guys.
Yeah, the problem with Conklin is that Ruckert hasn't stepped up at all. I still think Conklin's gone. DJ Reed's absolutely gone. And I love him, even though it took a little bit of a step back early in the year. Just that hustle play to give up there to prevent Miami on that long run early. Yeah. That would have been like a 60-yard touchdown. DJ Reed showed you what DJ Reed's character is all about. I actually pointed that out to my son. I'm like, look at this guy. You know, he's got all the money in the bank, been around 7-8 years. You know, he's been to a Pro Bowl. He's a really, really good player. Game means nothing. Look what he's doing. So, yeah, but I don't think DJ – I almost feel like just what DJ said this week, you get the impression Reed's kind of ready to move on. But do you now go to – well, let me – where do you go? Because I know you like Vrabel as well. Where are you after Vrabel, who's going to become a Patriot coach? Where are you going?
I feel like I was almost doing one of those tier things that those people put on social media, those tier maker things. And it was like Vrabel was like the, if you satisfy the Rooney rule, he's the guy you hire right away. That was like, he's like the top tier in my opinion, you know? And then right under him, I kind of was looking at the Flores, what do you call it? Flores,
Gruden, Glenn.
And then I was also looking at Pete Carroll, but it's like the only problem with him is he's like already in his 70s. So it's like, but he still had the passion. And you look at his record in hindsight, it's like, it's not terrible.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Sal brought that up the other day. Sal brought up Pete Carroll. That's he was actually bringing that up we did basically an hour or two on that. Yeah, I mean, I would be okay with Pete. I certainly get it. You know, he's and he projects a lot younger than he really is, which matters. I there's still some guys that resonate with older gentlemen and women that can still resonate with younger players. I think Pete's certainly one of them, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard his name like connected to the Jets. Doesn't mean it can't pop up, you know. And yeah, you know, the other thing, you know, he is on the other side of the country. He's been there for a long time, going back to USC. Yeah, you know, that's a big lifestyle change. I'm not sure of his marital status. If they want to go, if he is married, would she want it? I don't know. I wouldn't be afraid of that because of his age, meaning it would only be, you know, a couple of years in theory. Listen, but you've got to get somebody here. This is the ultimate point. And, you know, this is the mission. They can't mess this up, man. And I wish I can look at you guys right now and you can listen to me and I can tell you that I've got great confidence that they will nail. I don't have great confidence that they will nail this. I just don't. You know, I really was worried that Vrabel was playing them. And it looks like I'm going to be right. I feel like Rex begged his way into an interview. I don't know how serious they are about that. But if they whiff on some of the choices that, you know, I think would excite people, and it's a pretty decent list this year, unlike the last coaching cycle when they hired Robert Saleh, I think this is more appealing. Bigger names, better resumes. That's my opinion. I think that they could always pivot and throw the people a PR bone, which I think would just be so Jets-like and so counterproductive. But, man, I just hope inside that building that they are beginning to shift to Flores. I don't want Ron Rivera, even though he embodies the things that I think are important. You know, he's the leader of men. I know that's a little cliche at this point. He's won. I get it. But the other thing about Flores is young.
Yeah.
It's like 40. I think he's 44 years old. 43. Yeah. He's a young guy. So the season has ended. We have made it. We have made it through all the sadness, all the anger. I'll tell you, really, if you think about it, there's probably, because we started the pod week 10, week 9, something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Right? In a lot of ways, there's been more apathy than outrage, which is crazy when you think that the Jets just lost 12 games. But timing is of the essence. We will we'll reconvene during the week, obviously get together, see what's going on. I think we'll get some real intel, what the Jets are thinking, which way they're going to go. You know, I would be stunned. Again, I'm thinking Wednesday or Thursday for the next one. As always, I would be stunned if by Thursday, if we do it Thursday, that Vrabel is not named the coach of the Patriots. Maybe we get lucky. Maybe he wants a different challenge. I have no idea. Not expecting it, not banking on it. But the good news is that rising from the ashes is possible. It's not fun. Hell, I don't want to have to summon up this energy and summon up this resilience and dig down so deep to continue this fight. Give me Easy Street for once, man. I don't always need to take the road less traveled. I don't need to. Oh, what? Those Jet fans, they have such character. Wow. They are so resilient. They are just, wow. They never deter from their path. They never quit. Yeah, that's fine. We don't. You know what, though? Once I like this, I'll think the opposite. Oh, look at the Jet fan. You get a little lazy, get a little fat in the sun, all those wins. Yeah, I'll take it. I don't need to always have the hard hat on, you know? Oh, my God. But it is over. Now we push forward. Now we start looking at the draft. Now we start doing things that will put this team, this franchise, this organization in the right spot. So in a lot of ways, we were kind of just dragging through these pods, jumping on after games, going through, you know, some of the things that I found interesting. Obviously, the last month or so, the coaching stuff has been more hot. But, you know, now I dive deep into these drafts. I really do. So I'm going to do that for you. Obviously, I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Apple, Spotify, wherever you guys shop for your pods, go get it. And let your buddies know. Share the word. This is where we're going to do it all off season. I appreciate you guys that have been with me for the first 20 episodes. There we go. 20 episodes. The Jets finish up 5-12. For these 20 episodes, I've enjoyed it. And I will catch you tomorrow on The Fan, Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 with my guy Sal. And that's it. So season's over, and now we move forward, and now it's a new day, and it's going to be sunny eventually. I'll see you guys soon.